This is Trash Talk with your host, Garrett the Trash Man.
All right, what is up, everybody? Garrett the Trash Man, another episode of Trash Talk up here in St. George, Utah. Super hyped to be here with Kale and, dude, right when I start the podcast, I blank on names.
Trevor. It's all good, bro. I'm pretty forgettable, though. You know? All my ex-girlfriends told me that. So it ain't nothing new to me.
No. Sorry about that.
No, but you're good.
Super excited to have you guys on the podcast. And glad we could line this up because I know we're all busy and we all got places to go right after. So, yeah, let's jump into it. So
let's do it.
Let's start with Rant. Kel, you want to tell us what's on your mind this morning?
Man, what's on my mind this morning? I don't know if it's really a rant, though, man. I've just been really in my head lately about just growth and leadership, and I notice a fault that a lot of leaders have, including myself, where it's like, you know, we always want things to be like a certain way. And sure. I think we get caught up trying to change people too much instead of letting people be themselves. Right. And so, you know, we want to try and get people to think the way we think and do things the way we would do things, but our way is not always the right way to do things. Right. And so I've been trying to become a lot more intentional about just letting people be themselves. And it kind of hit me in a conversation with my wife this morning where I was like, you know, I just really feel like, to go to that next level as a leader and really let people be themselves, you kind of got to give yourself permission to be yourself as well, right? Yeah, and so sure. I think when you self-reflect, you become aware of that, you know, you can actually start really giving yourself more permission to just be who you are and let people be who they are, and you're going to get a lot more growth out of whatever it is you're trying to achieve, especially as a leader, right? Yeah. And so that's just been something on my mind the last day and a half, 2 days maybe. Yeah. And I had that conversation this morning, and so that's my rant, man. Yeah. I don't know if it's really a rant, but on my mind.
Yeah, I love that because that makes me think of if in your leadership team, you're never having arguments, it's always yes men around you, I think that's a big red flag you got to watch out for.
Yeah.
So if you're surrounded by yes men, everything you say is the best idea. Like I've got our COO, me and him will have knockout fights. And yeah. I think that's the best thing to have because he sees his things his way. I see things my way. And if we're always agreeing, there's probably a problem because we're really not agreeing. Someone's just doesn't feel like they can be themselves.
Hey, man, no one's ever got it all figured out either, right? Yeah. So it's like, man, just be open to perspectives. But I see it like with my wife's grandpa. I see it in myself. I see it in, you know, leaders in our company. It's like, you know, I kind of see a lot of that as leaders, you know, like, you know, we kind of want people to just do it our way or think the way we think. And so, you know, kind of got to get out of that.
Yeah, so. I love that. Hey, let me push on it a little bit. So how have you found it useful to kind of show up and have your opinion? Because if you're just kind of floating out there, you never have an opinion, but also give your team the space to push back on you.
Yeah.
Like how have you accomplished that in your guys' businesses?
We're still working on it, man. You know what I mean? We're always working on stuff like that. So, but honestly, man, I'm actually pretty anti-confrontational. And so one thing I notice about myself is I don't speak up and then I let things fester, right? And so I've gotten better at not doing that. But then also having enough humility to be like, oh, well, then teach me or show me the way and just kind of try and be an active listener versus, you know, just take control of everything, right? Yeah. And so it's just stuff I've been working on, right? Recently in that space, right? Yeah. So but you know, like over the years, man, we just all have just our different strengths, you know, and so I think we've been pretty good at letting our leaders lead, but you know, sometimes when big things are coming up, I think that, you know, hit the head butts and stuff like that do kind of help break perception open for everybody.
Sure.
So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I got my ass handed to me a few weeks ago in a meeting. Yeah. I said that was one of the worst meetings that I've ever done. You know what I mean? And I had to be open to that critique. You know what I mean? So like literally he's like, dude, I just want to be real with you. I'm like, dude, fucking send it. This is what the whole purpose of the meeting is for. Is so that we can kind of air it out, be harsh on each other and let each other know, basically shine lights in the areas that we're weak.
Yeah.
Because in some cases we don't know where we're weak. We just, you know, we think we're doing everything right. We want to give ourselves that type of credit, but you know, in some areas,
you wouldn't do it that way if you didn't think it was
If I didn't, you know, I thought I was, the intent was there, the right intent was there, but the delivery was way off.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes the intent and how you show up don't match.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of it. But your intent versus how you show up. If it doesn't match, are you open to critique? Mm. Are you willing to change? Do you really, really want to get better, or do you just want to be highlighting self? And believe me, I'm good at highlighting self.
Yeah.
but at the same time, I want to get better. And yeah. that's more important than highlighting self at this point, yeah. right? I've done that in the past enough, and it only gets you so far before you hit a ceiling. You know what I mean? And so the idea is get better wherever you could possibly get better. It doesn't matter if it's from Kel or from one of our sales managers or an accountant on the team or, you know, whatever it is. Be open to feedback. Be yeah. open to critique, because that's the only possible way to get better, because they see you at a different perspective.
Yeah.
Right. And so and
I love that, because I can't tell you how many times I've had maybe guys I work with closely tell mm-hmm. me, oh, hey, that guy would never say that to you. He's super intimidated by you.
Mm-hmm.
And like in my perspective, I'm like, why would anyone be intimidated by me? Like yeah. I'm just rolling around.
Too, yeah. I hear that. I actually hear that sometimes too. And I'm like, oh
yeah like really? Yeah. 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 But open
well,
up.
They don't want to talk to you about it. They're just like, what the fuck? Yeah. You know, like, okay. I've yeah. been that difficult.
But
to
then
talk
when
to.
You do put yourself in them shoes, like, do you remember being the employee, right? When yeah. it was kind of a new job and you're like, that's the guy, he's the owner yeah. or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, You just, you know, I remember
mentally put them on a pedestal.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I remember yeah. being in those shoes. It seems like forever ago though. So you kind of forget, you know, you get kind of detached from that reality. So
sure. Yeah. yeah. No, I love that.
Was that your rant? That wasn't your rant.
No, he's got to have his own.
Yeah. Oh,
we're
yeah.
just, we're just piggybacking off of yours.
yeah. I got plenty of those.
I'll jump in. So. I'll jump in on my rant real quick. And that phone call you got right before we started this podcast kind of reminded me of mine. So I made a post a couple days ago with my little girl. I got two little girls. One's like 10 months old. One's 9 months old or 9 months old. One's 9 months old. One's 2 years old.
Okay.
And my biggest recommendation for guys that just want to tenfold their happiness in life is have a little girl. Like for me, my little girl, wait, don't get me wrong. My little boy's awesome too. I got a 6-year-old boy. That's awesome. But little girls, like, man, they're freaking awesome. They make life worth living. And that just cracked me up when you got that phone call. And it reminded me of my daughter too. She's so loving. She loves me so much. I just see it in her eyes, but I'll be like, love you. That no answer. When I say love you, I get that all the time. Mm. Hey, can dad have a kiss goodnight? Nah, yeah. I don't think so. Yeah, not tonight. I'm not. Nah.
How old is
Come
she?
On.
She's two.
We all got 2-year-old girls, man.
Yeah, that was my 2-year-old calling. Yeah. So
yeah, they're blessed.
When they call on FaceTime just to say what's up, love you, whatever. Then they just don't want to get off FaceTime.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you stare at the ceiling. It looks like, dude, one of the, you know, like on Sandlot when they do the whatever and they all throw up. That's what it feels like when I'm on FaceTime with her, because she's obviously
she's
not
running around
and
at the ceiling and just,
yeah.
So I'm like, gotta go. Psh, I can't do it.
They usually win too. Like I stopped this morning at the gas station with my little girl. I took her to swim lessons.
Sure.
And on our way back, you know, we're like, you know, we bribed her to get in the water and do her swim lesson. We'll get you a sucker afterwards, whatever. And so we stop and I'm like, I'm just going to run in because I had to get in here by 9 and, you know, like all that stuff. And she's like, I want to go in. Right. And so I'm like, no. But then anyway, she won, man. You know what I mean? I got her out of her car seat, took her in, let her pick her treat. You know, that adds like 15 minutes to the gas station stop.
She's got to go through the whole store, maybe say hi to everybody, start a conversation.
All the little toy treats and stuff they got to go through. So
I'll leave their ass in the car and they'll get what they get. They don't throw a fit.
Oh, I'm a sucker, man. Yeah. I'm a sucker. Kelsey, you're right, though. Kelsey, little girls, man.
Yeah. So
10x to life. But yeah, it's a pretty simple one day. Nothing to do with business. But man, it's been on my mind lately because it makes all the hard work and everything worth it to be like, man, we'll build a life where, you know, we can spend all our time together. We can make sure that you don't have to worry about being taken care of. And two, for me, it's like I want to give them a good example of what a man should do and in taking care of you. So when she's looking for a husband, you know, the guys that are going to be, you know, not taking care of her, she's like, you're blowing them off. So,
yeah.
No, that's dope.
Love it.
Love that. So, all right, man. What you got today? It's on your mind.
You want it, huh?
I want it, yeah.
Okay. Weak ass man.
Oh,
that's what's on my
snowflakes.
Mind.
We're talking snowflakes. About snowflakes.
Fucking snowflake ass dudes, right? Let's just be real. There's plenty of them out there. And the majority of them will be shaking their head when they hear this shit. And the majority of them are them that are shaking their head and agreeing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times when we hear shit on social media or on podcasts, like, yeah. but it's external. You're like, yeah, people are this, they are that, but they never look at themselves in the mirror. They're weak because they fucking seek ease and comfort way too often.
Yeah.
That's everything that they do because they're stressed out at work or this, that, the other. And the reason why they're stressed out at these little minute things is because they're fucking weak-minded.
Yeah.
Because they're not putting their holding their own foot to the fire, right? The fact is people care more how they look than how they feel. And then what that does is it leads to depression because you're worried about what you think of me or what you think of me or what you, it doesn't fucking matter anymore. You should be worried about how you feel in your own body. You should be worried about how you feel as a man. You should be worried about how you show up as a husband, as a parent, mm-hmm. just as you just talked about. But everybody's fucking docile, dude. Everybody's weak as shit. They don't dare to push back. Okay? This is the biggest issue I see in society right now is that there's no true leaders. What did Kel talk about? I'm trying to become better as a leader. We're all trying to become better as leaders, but I don't see the average man trying to do so. Them waking up and going to work and showing up just for a fucking paycheck is good enough for them to call themselves a man.
Yeah.
That's not the case. Okay. A man is much more than just a provider of income. A man makes you want to become better. A man is a leader of his household. A man makes sure that he's setting an example of what a good man looks like, not only to his own family, but to his friends, yeah. to anybody else that's watching from the outside. The question is when's the last time you did something fucking difficult and it was by your own doing?
Yeah. Well, and one thing about difficult is like not difficult because you've got so docile that simple things are difficult. Like you took the stairs today instead of the elevator. Like sure, step by step, I'm not going to go too deep into that rabbit hole. But like set something big, like and do something big.
Big and scary. Mm-hmm. Something that maybe you didn't even think that you would be able to do that'll help you build fucking self-worth and confidence again.
Yeah, give you those butterflies where you're I'm not sure if I'm going to finish.
What the fuck did I do? Why did I say that? Why did I say I would do that?
Yeah. Well, I think it's so apparent right now. So you look at the past, say, 5-6 years, operating in this economy has been pretty simple. Like it's easy to be a winner. And if you haven't been a winner in the past 5 to 6 years,
you're
in trouble. Yeah. But it cracks me up all the people that are already starting to whine like, oh no, how are we going to get by? And dude, kind of what you're saying, docile, weak men. It's like, honestly, how do you occur for yourself? Cause for me, it's like, I don't give a shit what the economy's doing.
Yeah.
It can drop. Well, I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like I'll conquer whatever needs to be conquered. A lion isn't worried about a drought because he knows he's just going to go figure it out. He's going to find whatever animal he needs to go. He's going to move from a different savanna if that's what he needs to do. And I think all this worry that gets fed to us is really about just controlling it. Like you don't have to subscribe to that. You can just look for the opportunity where everyone else is just worried about,
what's going on externally, right? I'm more worried about what's going on internally.
Yeah.
You know, that's the most important piece. Why? Because if there is a bad economy or there is a drought, so to speak, and you are weak-minded, you're the one that's going to get hit the hardest.
Yeah. Now, you're waiting, who's going to help me? Who's going to take care of me?
Like you're waiting for the storm to pass or you're hunkering down like, oh, fuck. Like you should be the oh, fuck to the storm.
Yeah.
You should be the one showing up for yourself and your family in a major way. Now, if there's a lot of uncertainty, why wouldn't you want to go into uncertainty with the most clear mind, with the most healthy body, with the most motivation that you ever have? This year, I've made it a priority to make me the priority so that I can be the strongest, most clear version of myself because I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever's going to happen, I'm going to be fucking ready for it.
Yeah.
So I'm prepared for whatever's on the way.
Yeah.
The question is, are you? Right? That's the question that everybody needs to ask themselves. Now they're starting to retract. If anything, you need to double down right now. Get a little bit harder fucking mentally. Get a little harder physically. Start reading a little bit more. Start spending more time in the areas that are important, like with your family.
Yeah.
That's what's important. And if you lose sight of that, you become weak and fucking docile because you're worried about everything else that's not important.
Yeah.
We had we just got done with our mastermind meetup, which we do quarterly with our group, and it was actually a pretty cool session because first of all, there were some questions about investing, right? Because people are scared about their investments, and I had a couple questions a couple of times, like, man, what do you think though? Like some of your investments are in the food industry; it's been hit really hard, and here we are talking about that industry, and it's like I don't really give a shit, man. Like the end of the day, I know I can make money. I know I can make more money in a recession. I can make more money in the downtimes. Those investments will come back around. Does it suck they're not paying the dividends I want them to pay right now? Well, yeah.
That doesn't mean you're not going
to take some
shots.
Of course I want to see my investment paying its dividends, but dude, I know how to make money. So I'm not going to sit here and live scared, right? But the other area I really loved, almost probably 90% of the men in that group, it was very focused on like, man, I want to be better at home. I don't just want to be a provider. How can I fill up my wife's cup? How can I, what is it that I need to do to start being more intentional? And so it was just a really cool session. I feel like we came off of that because everybody is trying to improve on those areas because of the times that we're going into.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty cool.
I think a lot of men like to, men of success anyways, like to highlight what they make. And if they focus so much on the money that they're making and the area that they're so great, they don't have to focus on the areas that they're so weak. Yeah. Let's just keep reminding yourselves that you make $100,000 a year or $200,000 a year. Let me remind you, that ain't fucking shit, okay? First off, that ain't anything, okay? That's a great starting point to set yourself up for something great.
Yeah, you're getting to the point where you can put something aside to be able to play a game that
can get interesting.
Yeah.
Or you can choose to play the game where that's the income that you create a lifestyle on and you become weak and docile because now you have a six-figure lifestyle. You're milking it, so to speak, mm-hmm. and when slow times hit, potentially within the next year or two, here goes all the fucking trucks and the boats and the houses and everything's for fucking sale. And they're in mad panic because they've seek out ease and comfort rather than seek out challenges. They're not continuing to carve themselves into a better version of themselves. Me and Kel can easily get weak and docile. The income says so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I promise you that. But what we're trying to do is continue to challenge ourselves, continue to get better in whatever area. Guess what? I wouldn't say that we're the public speakers or this, that, the other, but that's an area that we would say that we were weak at one point. And I wouldn't say that we're great at yet, but that's an area that needs to be improved. So what do? We put ourselves in situations where we can improve in that area by starting masterminds.
Yeah. That's it right there, man. Cause there's a lot of confusion, right? When you talk about like, people aren't challenging themselves and they're not, you know, they're not tapping into it. They're being weak ass men. It's because a lot of them are confused. They're like, I don't know what to do. And it's like, you know what you need to do is you need to just sign up for something.
Yeah.
You know, like, bro, I was scared shitless jumping on my first stage to get up and represent our company.
Yeah.
But I didn't just sign up for it. I fucking paid to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, well, I think I need to start speaking. Boom. I paid the fee for an event that was coming up that asked us to sponsor that gave me stage time. Oh shit. Kind of forced me to start preparing something.
Yeah.
Signed up for a marathon. Oh shit. I better start running. Yeah. Signed up for a Spartan. Oh shit. I better start running. And so if you're feeling like, fuck, he's right. He's speaking to me. I'm a weak ass man. I don't know what to do. It's probably because you're confused. Just fucking sign up for something. Because that's what you'll start doing to push yourself. You know, when you know you got a deadline coming up, you're like, damn, I paid to do this marathon and I got my homie to do it with me. Like, I'm better start putting in the work and training.
Well, the idea is, what is the individual that you are today doing to set yourself up for a greater environment later, like signing up for a marathon that you know is 3 or 4 months out? That time is going to pass regardless.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know that, and as time passes, the pressure increases, which changes your actions, okay? And so when you hold your foot to the fire way out here, your actions leading up to that start changing because shit gets real, right? So if he says, yeah, sure, I'll hop on stage. Oh, shit. My guess is he probably took a lot more time in his basement, in his office or whatever, and started writing shit out, researching shit. His action and habits changed because of a commitment that he made.
Yeah.
His actions and habits will change because of another commitment of running a marathon. So therefore, he's going to have to hold his own foot to the fire and start running. Maybe that's something that he absolutely hates doing. So fuck, if I hate doing it, what can I do to hold myself accountable? I'm going to sign up for something major or massive like you talked about earlier, which is going to force me to take these certain habits or actions seriously because there's a deadline. I have to arrive and show up at a certain time in a certain place and be able to execute, whether that's on a stage, whether that's at a marathon, it doesn't matter what it is. But if you're scared of whatever it is that you're scared of today, sign up or do something and create an environment in the future that will hold your foot to the fire today to create a different change in terms of how you operate your day-to-day life, right? Yeah. And if you do not create something big and scary, why the hell would you change and start doing something hard or difficult? It doesn't make sense. Yeah. You have no reason to get off the couch and run if he doesn't have a fucking marathon to do. Well, you know, he has no reason to sit in his basement studying on fucking information to get better as a speaker if he doesn't have a speaking engagement.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and I think it goes back to something you were saying earlier. Like, I think a lot of people hold themselves, their future self, out to be a lot better than they are. It's kind of like guys that don't know how to fight, but like, oh, if I got in a fight, I just see red and I'd kill the guy. And it's like, no, you probably wouldn't. And
you'd see red and that's the blood dripping down your fucking face.
Exactly, exactly.
Slaughter, dude.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people kind of, you know, yeah, they're super docile, but they're, like you said at first, they're listening to this and they're going, yeah, be hard, go do that. Yeah.
Men are weak.
Yeah.
As you're fucking eating your fucking Lay's potato chips, listening to it and sipping on your fucking
Coffee. So that's why I say, like, to any of our listeners, like, step back and look back. When's the last time that I committed to something bigger that I didn't know how I was going to accomplish it? Gave me those butterflies when I signed up for it and was like, I don't know if I can do this. Yeah. I don't have a plan. And it's not just the, hey, I'm going to do it someday, where you get that little endorphin, you know, you tell people you're going to do it, but you haven't really committed. You haven't signed up for it. You haven't done it. So yeah, I just say to our listeners, like, take account of that, because if you're one of those people that Trevor was talking about here, like,
a weak ass man.
Yeah. You're one of those guys if you can't think of the last time you did something that made you nervous like that. So
that's how you ignite.
In any domain, whether it's fitness, whether it's a relationship, whether it's business, like,
you want to know what the biggest issue is why people don't continue to do that, is because they have one reference point of something cool that they did at one point and they hang their hat on it.
Yeah.
Oh, I did X.
What, one state championship high school?
Yeah. I was 13. It was little league.
Or on the flip side, they're blaming things like, well, I wasn't raised that way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like they're hanging their hat on these victories like, well, you know, I peaked in high school. Or they're like, well, I just wasn't raised that way. Or I'm an alcoholic because my dad was. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean? Everybody has an excuse, basically.
Let me give you an example of that, okay? So this year I decided that I'm going to do 2-a-days every day all year. And here we are, whatever, 6 months into it, right? And I was walking, right? Just doing the second one was a walk or whatever.
Sure.
And it felt good at first because I was doing something different than the old version of me was doing. Mm-hmm. Because I was showing up to the gym. I've always been pretty consistent at least once a day, right? So what's the new version of me going to do? What, 2-a-days? Cool. So you get 2-a-days, and guess what? I can hang my hat on that for, 2 years, 3 years, and just keep doing 2-a-days. But I was like, okay, now that that's the new normal for me, that's just what I do.
Yeah.
What can I do to turn it up a notch, right? And that's why I've been running a lot more, because I think it's too often that we celebrate the old version of us turning into the new version of us, and we just stay that new version for a long period of time without seeking out the next challenge or the next challenge. The old version became the new version when you created a challenge for yourself. And what happens is they still give themselves credit for changing a year ago.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago. Or the individuals that quit using drugs, that was a heroin addict or this addict or that addict. Guess what? They got clean 5 years ago and they're still celebrating that. Right. So they're not seeking the next challenge. That's a very difficult thing to overcome. So obviously they can overcome challenges if they've been clean for 5 years. Mm-hmm. But what's the next one?
Yeah.
I've seen so many people talk about this old, old, old thing that they did that was a great accomplishment. And I'm not going to shit on that accomplishment, but make those we don't have to spread out accomplishments over 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. We can accomplish new shit and find a new version of ourselves all the time. It's just a matter of taking off or setting yourself up and taking on, new challenges as frequently as you possibly can that will make you a new version of yourself, like running a marathon or speaking on a stage or whatever that version of it is for you.
Yeah.
Right.
It makes me think of something a mentor told me, and this might land to some people pretty harsh, but I think he meant it too. And whether it's your accomplishments, whether it's something you did wrong, whatever it might be, what he told me is, don't drag it along with you like a dead baby. He's like, you've got to bury that baby and move on with your life. Mm. And he said it that harsh because it's like, there's nothing worse that could be harder than a child dying. And he's like, you got to bury it. Yeah. You got to bury it and you got to move on. Mm. And I think whether it's accomplishments or failures, like you've got to move on and go on to the next. Because if you're dragging anything along with you, it's going to do nothing but hold you back. So,
No doubt. Quit celebrating an old fucking win.
Yeah.
A new one.
Yeah. Well, I love this. And I know our listeners listening right now are like, this is good shit. But some of them might be like, who are these guys? So do you guys mind doing a quick introduction? However you guys like to introduce yourself. And I'd love to jump in to what you guys are up to now. What you guys, kind of how you got there and just kind of your guys' story. So, yeah, if you want to start.
Whatever.
And, you want to start? I don't know who I am. I'm still figuring that out.
Well, that's kind of the point.
You know what I mean? Like if who I am is an individual that seeks out challenges and an individual that's always trying to get better. Yeah. And that's the commitment that I've made to myself. So who I am today will not be who I am, you know, next month or next year. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact. So if you want to know, really just boil down to the most simplest form, I'm an individual that's ever evolving based upon the situations that I put myself in, just as we just alluded to and just talked about, right? Yeah. Because I already know that, you know, business is going to be hard 100% of the time. Welcome to the fucking club, right? How can you make business a little easier by you becoming a little harder, by you becoming a little bit more mentally strong?
Yeah, and then
strong.
What was tough for you?
It's just another fucking day, dude.
Yeah. Love it.
I mean, hell. We started this podcast called The Real Business Owners. We've formed it into a business. And, I mean, really the main purpose was to have messages like that, right? Like help business owners that are going through the shit, that are trying to reach their next level. Because we've been to a lot of levels, man. But we're also still seeking a lot higher levels as well. You know, like when Trev started off the podcast talking about guys that are like, dude, that $200,000 a year ain't shit. Well, mm-hmm. Neither is that $2 million a year to certain people, right? Because there's levels to this shit. Yeah. So our whole mission of this is to continue to spread the message at every single level so that just like we have mentors reaching down, pulling us up. The whole point of this podcast is to reach down and pull people up as well. And it's turned into a business, a mastermind, consulting. We're forming digital products because we just want to continue to reach our next level while bringing people with us as well. Our other businesses are like Easier Accounting. We're in the accounting space. We're the guys that make accounting sexy, man. It's like the least sexy part of business, right? And
it's the nerd. Work,
you know,
right?
Yeah. You know, and so we're just out there trying to help people get the right financial habits in their business. We're trying to make it a little more sexy, right? We're trying to be the service for people to help them go to their next level on that side of things as well. We also own a credit repair company. So, I mean, people at the very beginning stages of their journey of wanting to start a business or wanting to buy their first home or get into a car or restart their life and get on good track again, we have a really cool credit repair company, man, where it's called 60daycreditrepair.com. But we help people literally get a clean slate on their credit again by deleting the shit that's holding them back. You know, so all of our businesses are built around serving and helping people, man. And that's kind of who we are. We're invested in a bunch of restaurant brands. We've got Everbowl. We got Dirty Bird. We got Hello Sugar.
We invested in a cell phone company that's supposed to come Mateus, out.
You know,
we've invested. We got all kinds CRMs. Of investments.
But our three main things are real business owners, Easier Accounting,
60 Day,
and they're all designed to just want to make money. We're entrepreneurs, but it's really they're all designed to help bring people up.
Yeah. Well, something I heard earlier, you say it's like, man, when you do, you put out good. You do good work, you bring value.
Yeah.
Like the money just comes back and it handles itself. Like
yeah.
That doesn't mean it doesn't need to be managed. That doesn't need intention brought to it.
Yeah.
Or you set prices and things like that. But if you're bringing value, like your income is just a reflection of the value that you bring to society.
Right.
And so like that's something to think about and look at. If your income isn't where you want to be, look at it and say, well, what more value can I bring to my community?
Yeah.
Or society as a whole.
Well, if you're not making more money, it's, you know, one of two things. Either you haven't been in business long enough if you're serving people at a high level, or you're in business just to make money. Now, if you actually switch it up and saying, okay, what can I do to make money today? What can I do to serve the customer at the highest possible level today? And then time will take care of the rest.
Yeah.
The money's a byproduct of a high level of service, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes if we're chasing money, the service isn't so great because all we want is the money. And, you know, that doesn't lead to massive, massive growth. It leads to a plateau. And then you'll ultimately find out that it's more about service and impacting people. Mm-hmm. And then when you do that at a high level, the money's there at a high level.
I'm saying, yeah. Yeah. And that, so I want to talk to you guys a little bit of accounting and share my story around that because, mm-hmm. Like I said, it's not the sexiest part of business, but man, is it important that a lot of people don't even take account of accounting.
Yeah.
But first I want to point out one thing, just to my listeners is how incredible it was, how you guys introduced yourself, just barely and taking advantage of it. Something I've told a lot of people is introductions is one of the, most underutilized opportunities that is out there, whether it's introducing yourself and how you want to do it. Cause you easily could have been like, hey, I'm Trevor. We run some businesses, this, that, and the other, and that's it.
Yeah.
Or you're introducing your wife to someone, hey, this is my wife, Tasha. That's it.
Yeah.
And you guys just gave an awesome example of what an advantage introductions are. You know, yeah. You can create an experience with anybody through your introduction. And
true.
And it's so crazy how people, instead of saying like, hey, I'm an accountant. You guys explained like why your accounting firm is different and how it interacts with all these other businesses. And so someone can sit back and go, well, I can see a lot of potential opportunity by bringing my business to your guys' accounting firm, because it sounds like you guys got a whole ecosystem behind that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just say that to point out, because that was such an incredible example of taking advantage of an introduction where 99.9% of the world, they just let that incredible opportunity go by the wayside.
Yeah, don't dull down your brightness. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you have that opportunity,
they just, I mean, talking
it,
about
you know?
The Matrix earlier, they just do the Matrix. No, hi, this is me. This is what I do. It's like, is that really all the passion you have to bring to this?
Well, that's just what it is, man. You know, that's what society has come to, you know, even I would go even as further, take it one step further and say, there has to be an introduction. I didn't know who the fuck you guys were today at the gym.
Yeah.
What did I do? Came over and I'm like, yo, bro, you getting it in today or what, dude? Oh, well, we're actually here for your guys' podcast today or the podcast or whatever, right? And I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going, dude? Like, good to meet you, I guess, you know? So,
I wish I would have been there.
Yeah.
I was at swim lessons
there
today.
There we go, yeah.
He's picking up suckers at Maverick and his swim lessons. We already heard that. So.
I want to change my rant now.
Yeah.
Because that is what society, you know, it does. It's what it programs us to do, is to dull down our greatness, our brightness, you know? Like, you get an opportunity for an introduction, seize that shit, man. Let them know what you do, what you're all about, you know? I love that you highlighted that, dude. That's really cool. And that's a great point that you made.
And if you start doing it, I can tell you, it's going to seem weird to people. Yeah. Because they are in that matrix. Like I love introducing my wife and being like, hey, this is my wife, Tasha. She's the most caring mother in the world.
Yeah.
And like, I love being married to her, and she's my favorite person in the world.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes people are like, okay, hi, Tasha.
Yeah.
But I just created an experience with my wife.
Yeah.
That like, yeah, is going to give to that relationship that's completely different than if we doled it down and, this is my wife, Tasha.
That like, dude's wife's going to be laying in bed then. I'd be like, why don't you introduce me like that? And he's going to be like, I know. You know what? You just made a difference in their life. Now he's going to start going around and be like,
nah, he's a weak-ass man. He's probably going to say, fuck Garrett, dude. God, he really highlighted how
some. My night's going real nice, and he's
After that introduction, one of you going home and getting laid, and the other one's fucking getting reamed, right? I'll let you decide who's who in that equations.
Yeah, so not to go too far out on that, but I wanted to highlight that because you guys did an incredible job.
That's a great
on
point.
That.
Yeah.
So going back to accounting, so probably a lot of my listeners, I probably told this story before, but I'll still highlight it. So when I started in business, give you guys just a quick overview. So family business, dad was looking to kind of check out, get out. He wanted to go serve a mission. I'm sure you guys up in Utah are familiar with that.
Yeah.
He wanted to leave. Him and my mom go out to Thailand. He's like, I need someone to run the business. Anyway, I won't get too deep in how that all played out, but I'm sitting in a position where, all right, I've got a multi-million dollar business on my hands. I've got sales experience.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
And I was 23 at the
sounds
time.
Familiar.
And it's like, let's do this. So luckily I had an old school accountant that was he was my grandpa's accountant for his businesses way back in the day, had been my dad's accountant, but he was about to retire,
yeah.
But he was happy to tell me how it is. Tell me how stupid I was, this, that, and the other. I went to one meeting with him, left feeling like such an idiot because I didn't know how to read a P&L properly. He's throwing P&L, revenue, profit, net profit, like all this stuff. And I'm going, I don't know, balance sheet. And I'm like, how do these interact? What's going on? Like, I don't know. So what I decided to do is I ordered an accounting 101 book off eBay, got that here, opened up every night. I'd spend 2 hours going through doing the exercise. It was just a college textbook, went through it, and it gave me enough accounting that I could run a business. I could sit down with any tax strategist. I knew the lingo now, this, that, and the other. And it's incredible to me how that probably took maybe a month to get through that book.
Yeah.
And that single thing has paid back millions.
Yeah.
Being able to understand that and have useful conversations, understand how models are built, understand my financials, and just get how the company, and probably the biggest thing is understanding cash flow.
Yeah.
Because most businesses go out of business making money, their cash flow just doesn't work.
It turns into their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Cash flow turns into lifestyle, man, real quick, you know?
Yeah. So that one action, it's amazing to me how many entrepreneurs I interact with that just don't touch that. Don't understand it and throw it out there.
I'll tell you.
It's not fun and sexy.
Just like you were luckily met this guy that was willing to mentor you a little bit and give you that reality check. I was lucky to get some of my sales experience selling accounting, right? Mm-hmm. I got this job at an accounting firm, had no idea what I was doing, but I'm like, okay, I got to learn it, right? So that just gave me so much courage to start a business. But it is one of the first things people should do when they start their business like you did. It is so wise that you did that. Most people don't know how to read a P&L and they're 8 years in business right now, bro. They don't know how to read a balance sheet. They don't know what their assets on books are. They don't know what their real basis is. They have no clue at all, you know? So the fact that you did that just is a lot of wisdom, because literally most do not. They come to us 8-10 years in business and they're like, dude, I'm 6 years behind on my books. You know what I mean? I haven't filed my taxes in 6 years and I'm getting these letters of like, they're going to take everything from me. And so, dude, it's incredible that you did that.
And if I remember right, that was a big struggle for your family when you were growing up, right? Yep. Your dad was running a construction business. Most construction businesses, there's a lot of money coming in there.
That's why that accounting job gave me the courage to start a business. I would have never been a business owner if it wasn't for that accounting job, because my mindset was, why the hell would I ever want to go start a business when this IRS can just take everything? Because that's what happened in my life, right? Yeah. Like my dad lost everything. Our homes were lien. Mom's paychecks were garnished or accounts were levied. His business accounts were levied, like, whoosh, take it all, you know, and you watch that destroy not just a business, a family, a home, you know what I mean? And so financial acumen is so important. If you're not willing to spend a little bit of time developing a base knowledge, nobody gets into business, they want to be a tax expert, you know what I mean? But if you're not willing to get some financial acumen about how I'm going to run this business, reinvest back into the business, build the basis, take care of my people, learn how to read P&Ls, man, you really are just going to set yourself up for a ginormous failure. And you're going to keep restarting until you do that, right? Because if you go hire an accountant and you say, hey, here's my shit, take care of me, they're just doing what you brought them.
Yeah.
And if you're not an expert and they just bring what you're just doing, what you bring in, like they're just doing what you brought them. So
probably you're leaving money on the table. Two, you don't really understand your business. I can't tell you. I can think of three just this year businesses I looked at purchasing.
Yeah.
And their books were in such disarray
that
I had to bring in a team to clean those up, to even verify income, different things like that. And honestly, on my side, puts me in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And you've got to think of that as a business owner. When you go to sell, or you go to even get a loan to scale up, or whatever you're doing, bring on investors. If you don't have that in order, you are now beholden to the guy that knows what's
exposed is all, exposed to whatever.
Man. I mean, I'd like to say it's the first thing you should do in business, but first of all, you got to make sure you have a business. A lot of people starting businesses, make sure you got a business, right? Like you actually have something that you're going to get some traction with. You got a product, you know how to generate some leads, all that great stuff. But it's like the second, it's up there, it's high, it's top of the list. Like second thing you should start doing is understanding the financial game.
Well, and it really is the accounting, because that is starting a business. Because it's like, do you know if you're making money?
Yeah.
And where are you making money? And what should you stop doing because it's not making you money? Because I found that a huge turning point in my business when I really started to understand, when we realized, hey, this is what's making us money. So this is what we're really going to invest to. And like, I'll just give a practical example so people can kind of get their hands around it. So in my business, trash, there's a lot of different forms of income. You've got specialty waste, say. So medical, hazardous, the sharps, the bloods, incredible profit margins, super high profit margins. You've got.
Did you say the bloods, bro?
Yeah.
What about
like
the blood. Cribs?
Yeah.
The, man, the, anytime I hear bloods, my brain automatically goes, what about the
cribs? I'm not that streets, gangster, man. Yeah. Snowflake isn't that crazy.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Sounds dangerous.
But then you might have something like construction roll-offs that, you know, bring in a ton of money when things are booming. Mm-hmm. But if you don't understand, you might look at the specialty waste and say, yeah, I've got four accounts. They're making me $1 million a year. But I've got this construction over here doing $4 million a year. It's knowing, it's having a business, knowing the difference that $4 million a year is costing you $3.9 million to run that, and you're only walking away with $100,000. Or you can do way less work with this million and walk away with $700,000 because it's only costing you $300,000 to take
care
of it. Well,
right. Why do you think the majority of startups go out of business?
Well, I think a lot of it's cash flow.
They don't know their fucking numbers, dude. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's one thing that I believe contributes to it. You know, if there's a high failure rate in the first 3 years of entrepreneurship, guess what's usually the last thing a startup entrepreneur does? Worry about accounting.
Yeah.
The first thing that they're doing is they open their business, they open their doors, and they're worried about just generating revenue.
So what do you guys think? Is it the sexy side of things that keeps people from doing that because they want to do the stuff that can be shown on Instagram? Or
sure.
What causes it?
It could be fear, and it could be lack of knowledge. It could be that it's just not fun and sexy or cool to sit down and read a fucking book like you did.
Yeah.
People won't sit down and read a regular ass book, let alone an accounting book.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah, so you got to put it into perspective. People aren't investing in areas where they're weak. Mm. They're not trying to really grow and gain. What they want is the result without a change in action. That's what they want. And then they get frustrated. Like, what are all these other people doing that's successful? Like, but they just keep showing up their same self over and over and over with the same effort over and over and over. I don't think people understand the amount of time and whatever.
Yeah. Like, well, here's the thing, man. A lot of people young in business, they are idolizing the wrong people, right? They're seeing these people with the flashy shit, so they want the flashy shit. So what happens is their impulses kick in, and then they justify, right? So they're like, damn, in order to be a successful contractor, I need to have a brand new Duramax or an F-350, and it needs to be the fucking be lifted, sickest one in town. And you know, because then everyone's going to want to like have me trim their trees and do their landscaping or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not the truth, man. If you really study the people that are successful, it's probably the guy driving the Toyota that's like, you know, actually investing in himself and studying and keeping, you know, in the old days his ledgers, nowadays his books. Like, you know what I mean? It's the guy that's actually doing the things that people don't want to do that's getting very successful. So they're idolizing the wrong person, then they're utilizing their impulses, and then they're justifying it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're doing to create the failure that they're having. And until they flip the switch and they start idolizing the right people, you know, the guys that, I mean, I hate to say it, but the guys that like look like Mark Zuckerberg, you know what I mean? They're the guys that are actually sitting down and taking their obsession to the next level because they truly want to have success and independence and freedom.
So the equation is boring over a long enough period of time will equal sexy.
Yeah.
The problem is people flip-flop it. They want to put sexy first, and then they put themselves out of business.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
And so, like, people are getting into entrepreneurship because it's fucking cool. And it's a status. It's a clout. Mm-hmm. It's not for real financial freedom, you know? And you could tell by the actions or the decisions that they're making on a day-to-day basis, right? Like, there's been people in our office seeking funding just to save their business, but they're driving a brand new truck that's wrapped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can see them on Instagram. It's like, oh, but you're here for $250,000 or whatever it was. That was a surprise visit. you know, and we already told him no, you know, but he showed up anyways and thought he'd get a yes. And why the fuck would I want to put money behind somebody that looks like that their priorities are fucked up?
Yeah.
If that dude was driving a 1985 shithole, just worried about doing whatever it took to save money so that he could reinvest back into the business so that it has the ability to grow, he's making some big ass sacrifices versus having that nice ass truck and buying a plane ticket out here just to ask for money.
Yeah.
Show me with your actions that you're deserving of money.
Yeah.
You know, don't ask for it. Show me.
Couple great examples. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. We've all seen the old pictures of them, dude.
Yeah.
Did you not see that interview with Bezos?
Now they got hair transplants or Bezos boring. Is actually kind of ripped now and he's like driving the freaking Bugattis and shit, right?
Boring.
But like, dude, they looked like straight nerds. Their hair was falling out. They're totally just nerdy, boring, whatever. But they're over there doing their damn work. No one knew who they were. And now it's like, you know what I mean?
Now
like,
everybody wants to be them.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to be them in that fucking
Bezos
corner.
Bezos actually looks pretty good, bro.
Dude.
He was like,
fuck. Bro, I can't wait to get rich, shave my head, and get fucking yoked in my yacht. Yeah. Like, dude, I'm trying to get there.
Well, most guys like that, too. Once they're in it, they realize that's what's exciting. Mm. Keep pushing in themselves and keep going. I think that's why you see guys that blow up. Like, they just don't stop.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think Bezos was trying to look sexy.
Yeah,
I don't think Elon was trying to look sexy when he was sleeping on homie's couch after he sold PayPal for $190 million and invested it all, and he was depressed and crying and thought everything was going to go bankrupt.
Yeah.
That wasn't sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I guarantee you 99.99999% of other people sell a company for $190 million. They're all about sexy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he kept doing the boring shit, the right shit, right? And Kel talked about earlier about us making investments into brands. Despite whatever the circumstances is, this, that, the other, is investing into your financial future a good thing or a bad thing? Yes or no? The answer is always yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, whether it turns out that way, that's a whole different story. The action that he talked about of still making the investment despite, that's the right decision. Is it a hard decision? Absolutely. Are your emotions kind of stirred up a little? Of course. You know, of course you're nervous when you're letting go of money, but the right decision is the right decision despite the emotion. And if you're not investing into yourself on a day-to-day basis to get better or investing into your financial future by putting money out in the market to where it has the ability to come back, then, you know, what the fuck do you got to look forward to?
Yep.
You know what? The same version of yourself in 10 years? Fucking cool. You know what I mean? Like, enjoy it.
Yeah, you got to be excited what's coming up for sure. Yeah. Well, guys, and I always know it's a good podcast when an hour flies by quick.
Is that where we're at?
Yeah,
right now?
We're at an hour, and I got a ton more questions I'd ask you. But let's to wrap it up. Like, I would just love to. You've got the Real Business Owners. I'm sure there's some of my listeners that have heard that podcast, and I'll say it's one of the few that I'll listen to. I don't listen to a ton of podcasts. But you
we
guys
fucking
are
kill it, huh?
You're pretty good, man.
Yeah, we are pretty good.
You bring the energy.
I would say, you know, it took a long time for I mean, I guess I that's a lie. There was one time that we had a few drinks in Idaho when we listened to like episode 11 or 12, and it was like midnight, and Kel turned it on. He said, "You want me to turn it off? We got to catch a flight in 4 hours." Said, "Fuck no, this shit's fire, dude." And we laughed and high-fived across the bed, and we just sat up and listened to our own podcast. We don't listen to our own shit no more, like, at all, like, really. But that was a good time. We surprise ourselves. I'm going to be honest with you. We surprise we learn from us.
Yeah.
You know? articulating what maybe is going on in your mind. Like, you talk about run. Like, I actually don't like have music or anything when I'm running.
Yeah.
And I can think of a lot of things, but doing a podcast gives you a chance to articulate that, and it comes out so much clearer.
New
you're like,
bro.
Oh, that's interesting. That is my thought.
Yeah.
But like now I'm interacting with it different as I'm putting it out into the world.
When you're put on, when you're put on the spot, some shit comes out, and then you hear it back. You're like, oh damn, that's like, cool.
Damn, I'm good.
I'm gonna take my own advice on that one. Oh, yep,
for sure. So. Yeah. So if my listeners want to follow you, how do they follow you? If they're interested in any of your businesses, how do they get in touch? What's you guys' plugs for the podcast?
I don't know, man. Real Business Owners.
On Instagram.
Find us on Instagram. Yeah. You can find us on all the podcast apps. You just type it in, we'll come up. And then same thing with, you know, just finding us online, easieraccounting.com, 60daycreditrepair.com. We got Instagram pages and Facebook pages for all of them. We're pretty easy to find. If you shoot us a message, we can get the team over to you right away, you know, and that's kind of how we do it when people DM
us. You know, all eyes are on Real Business Owners on Instagram. So if somebody wants to send us a DM there, I mean, that's where you send a DM, right?
Yep.
And we answered it, didn't we?
Yep.
You know, here we are. So that's what we do. You know, we have a lot of different businesses and we're kind of directing the attention where it needs to go, depending on what the individual's needs are. So
perfect.
Reach out to us there if you have any questions. And if you're not listening to the podcast, I'm sorry to hear that. but the cool thing is you can create a new version of yourself by tuning into our podcast. And, you know, we try to do everything that we can to lay it down for you. So,
Hey, Garrett, appreciate you like giving us that, that space, man, in order to not just promote ourselves, but just sit here and talk to you and your listeners. And hopefully we've added some value there, but, dude, really appreciate you coming up to be on our podcast and allowing us to be on yours as well. So
Awesome. Super cool. Yeah. Love it, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Peace.